Do you believe in life after love?
Rain again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and not that to three!
Yeah! Get it!
Hello, welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me, the FSA Club Podcast of the Year. I'm Charles, and this is the podcast for fans of Northampton Town, where we share the fans' view on all things NTFC. Coming up, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas as the Cobblers win at Harrogate, NTFC women bow out of the Women's FA Cup, and is Neil about to start singing EI, EI, EIO? Let's find out, shall we? Joining me this week are Danny Brothers, Neil Edgerton Scott, and Chezzy Coleman. Hello, how are you guys? You okay?
Hello, hello.
Hey.
Hello.
It's a full house.
It is.
It's a full house.
House.
It's a fun house.
It's a fun house.
Oh, like
it's
Noel
a whole
Edmund.
Lot of fun.
Noel Edmonds.
Prizes to be won.
Noel Edmonds make, fun
no,
house.
Noel Edmonds fun house. What are you watching, Jesse? What is that?
Was it that's not Noel Edmonds?
That's something completely different, Jeffrey.
You don't want to go to Noel Edmonds' fun house.
What was Mr. Blobby?
Pat Sharp.
That was Noel's house party.
No, Pat Sharp wasn't Mr. Blobby. Well, it might have been.
No, yeah. But like, what was... What was...
It was Noel's house party.
That's
Noel's
it.
House party, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. Blobby was my favourite thing, right? I literally adored Blobby, and I watched all of the Blobbies everywhere. It was amazing. I love that pink and yellow creature.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that that is the way that we have started the pod this week. Got a question for you. Have you got your It's All Cobblers to Me Christmas mugs yet?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
I've ordered it. I haven't got it physically.
Oh, I've got mine.
Ordered it, Charles.
There
it's
is.
On the way.
It's here.
I'm hoping it comes in time for Christmas so I can have a nice Christmas Bovril.
Well, just to put this out there, I can't guarantee that they will arrive before Christmas. However, I will say that it looks like they're coming within a week of ordering.
That is what she said.
Yes, it is.
in a week.
If you're wondering what I'm talking about, last week we launched our merch shop at cobblerstome.com/shop, and we began our Christmas fundraising in support of Western Fable Food Bank. To raise money for the Trussell Trust supported food bank, we're selling our podcast mug for £14.99, and all the profits are going to the food bank, which will help them to provide 3 days of nutritionally balanced emergency food and support to local people who are referred to them in crisis. We don't believe that anyone in our community should face going hungry, and that is why we're doing this. We've already had a fantastic response. There's been about 20 sales so far, so thank you very much if you are one of them. If you've not got yours yet, you can head over to cobblerstome.com/shop right now. And you can also support the Western Fable Food Bank by donating any food items such as tinned fruit and veg at several drop-off points throughout Northampton. They're all on the Western Fable Food Bank website, but a couple of them are Tesco Mearway and Cafe Track on the Market Square as well. We would love to raise as much money as possible to help out the food bank at Western Fable this year, and you can help us do it. cobblerstome.com/shop. Go and get your It's All Cobblers to Me podcast mug. It's a bit like a trophy that you can put tea and coffee and Bovril into, isn't it, Danny?
Yeah, I've tried covering this trophy next to me in tea.
Please
and coffee. Doesn't quite work the same.
It's melted,
yeah. So that's
excuse me, Mr. FSA, we need another trophy.
I love Bovril. Bovril is like a, you know, when you like at Christmas, we rate all the Christmas things. Mm-hmm. Things. That's just
how you, Bourbons.
No, yeah. I mean chocolates. Sorry, listeners, I had a brain fart. So you know how you order the chocolates from like your celebration boxes and your hero boxes and everything, and you always get like the bounties at the bottom and that's that yeah. kind of stuff. It's like that, isn't it? Bovril is proper statement drink up there, isn't it?
Go and get a room with your Bovril.
Love a bit of Bovril. Because, right, with Bovril, this is the thing. It is neither hot nor cold. Like, it's one of those things that cools down really quickly. And so you get your hands on it at half time and it's like you're literally going to burn from the outside in. But then literally by the time you've walked back to your seat and sat back down, because it's so cold.
Bringing it back to football. Yeah. Good work.
Yeah. It's so much nicer because then you can just down it and then hope it doesn't go all over your face when the cobbler score.
Oh, brilliant. Speaking of scoring.
Uh-huh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, we scored some goals.
We did score some goals this week. And we didn't even have a Tetti in the team.
And the other teams didn't score as many. In fact, they only scored half of what we did.
Woo! Yeah. Sing it, Daddy.
Six field
ball. We scored a goal.
Yes, we did.
What is going on?
Welcome back, Neil.
Neil has come back to the podcast.
Been away for a few weeks. You've all lost your bloody mind.
It's because it's Christmas.
It is nearly Christmas, and the Cobblers decided to go away from home, first to Exeter, and then to Harrogate, all in the space of a few days, and they only went and came back with 6 points, didn't they, boys and girls? What an amazing points haul that is. Question for you, Neil. The Exeter game on Tuesday, before the match, did you think that we might win it?
Well, there's always a chance, Charles.
Chance it.
Did I think we'd win it? No, I thought we'd be quite happy with a draw against Exeter. But that didn't happen, Charles. We got all 3 points.
We did. We did get all 3 points. The thing is, and I think this is the case. We've been talking a lot about how we feel like we've maybe crept up into second in League Two, haven't we, over the last few weeks. And it does feel like every single game, as soon as the team sheet is announced, we all sort of go, I'm not sure, because lately we've been missing some key players, Etete being obviously the main one. And you are thinking, well, where are the goals going to come from? But Chezzy, don't need strikers. Don't need strikers, do we?
No, literally. Well, basically what happens is, for anyone that isn't actually following and is just listening to us for the first time, is we just literally ace set pieces at the moment. It's actually ridiculous how efficient we are. And we've talked about this on so many occasions, but I saw James Hennigan talk about it this week. More so, we are just so efficient at what we do. And it's not particularly pretty, but it's effective. And, you know, Tuesday night in particular, you could see by about 60 minutes, it all started to get away from us in the second half. And the wind played a huge part because the ball was just spinning. As soon as Roberts kicked it out, it wouldn't even go over halfway. It was just, the conditions were awful. But we just grind out performances and we just find goals out of nowhere, because the goal on Tuesday, that second goal, literally came from nowhere. And it was I hate to say it because it's not the right adjective, but I'm going to use it. It was the most pathetic goal in terms of the way it just like limped into the goal net. And it's like, but you take it and then you are effective at what you do. And I hate to use a curlism, but you nullify any threat that they have. They had a really good bloke on the wing, Caprace, I think his name was. And he looked really solid, but he had him in his back pocket. And it was so efficient and so effective. And it actually, I think that's why we've got such a real feeling of togetherness with the fans and the players, because you can see that the effort that's going into the fact that they are making sure that we get these results. It's not, you know, Barcelona-esque football, but it's football that works and works really well.
Can I ask a question?
Go for it.
What else could we describe as not particularly pretty but effective?
Neil.
Apart from me, obviously. Yeah,
what else can we describe?
The lift tower,
yes. Yeah. Great shout.
The lift tower.
The former Greyfriars bus station.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It wasn't even remotely pretty.
No.
Was it effective?
Yeah. It was more arguably effective than the prettier new one, right?
Arguably more so.
Yeah. Sorry, Jeffy, you made some really good points during that, but when you said not particularly pretty, but effective, I'd gone. I was thinking about things.
Oh yeah, I'm really not sorry, bothered, mate. Neil. Don't worry, love.
But I'm going to agree with all your points.
Yeah, no, I think we're doing really well in terms of that idea that we are, and we'll probably come on to this a bit more, but we are just going under the radar because we're just doing what we need to do and just minding our own business. I love that.
Sneaky beakies.
Yeah. Like little, what we like is like little pheasants, right? We're really audacious and we just start like flapping about in the middle of the road and then just eventually just get to the other side of the road before getting hit by another car. Like, do you see what I mean? Like,
what an analogy that is. That's like, brilliant.
Because the pheasants, like, they do this little, like, this last minute dash across the road to stop themselves getting run over. And it's like that when it's 1-1 and we've got to try and get a goal. So we're just like a little pheasant just running around like on the road, just about getting out of the way. Like Exeter, we just about got away with that.
To be fair, I think you're right because the start of the second half...
Terrible analogy, but...
Yeah, obviously the wind just seemed to just stop us from being able to have any control over the game whatsoever. Because every time we tried to clear it, the way that I saw it was that the wind was holding the ball up and therefore that was giving Exeter's back line the chance to basically run on and attack the ball. So that therefore they were basically defending on their halfway line every single time. And we were constantly always, you know, striker-wise. So Danny Rose, who is pretty good in the air, but he's having to run essentially back towards his own goal to then try and head it on further in the opposite direction. So the momentum is kind of lost. And that is what was causing us to really have to dig in. And for the first, 15 minutes of that second half, I was really worried. And of course, Exeter did score in that 15 minutes as well, in that spell.
We fell apart. We did fall apart for a bit.
But it's the way that we dug in and we eventually regained our composure and our control. And we then sort of started to play the conditions and managed to actually get them to work in our favour. And you are right in what you're saying about, you know, the winning goal was completely out of the blue. You know, I think I wasn't even sure. I didn't realise we'd scored. Like, both Hoskins and Pinnock were wheeling away and I was like, oh, it's in. Brilliant. Jumping up and down mad. I didn't have a clue who'd scored it. I didn't really have a clue what had happened. You know, it was a bit of a soft free kick, I think. Was it Lewis that won it?
It was very, very controversial within the ground. Yeah. The Exeter fans were not happy, and understandably, because it wasn't great. Can I say something really controversial in itself on that point, though, Charles?
Go for it.
And it's controversial, but I also think it's positive. Do you know what? That referee was bloody brilliant.
Well, I think... And I think you're right to bring this up, actually, but the one thing that I will say about the referee was that I didn't notice him.
That's what we said. Isn't that good? Fair play to whoever it was. I don't know his name, which is terrible.
John Busby.
Yeah. Really good standard of referee. Really good standard of refereeing. Just let it go. There was a couple of, you know, decisions, like we say, the Lewis one was soft and could have gone the other way, but... Do you know what? I didn't notice him throughout the whole game. And that's what a referee should be. And that's why it was so good.
I think the same, maybe not quite as well, but I think the same could be said about the referee in the Harrogate game. No? I know that there was the Kabamba incident in the first half, but I actually didn't see it. I missed it. And so I can't really comment on it. I was just going by what people had said. And I just kind of thought, well, nothing else after that really happened. I saw that made me go, referee's out of mare there.
I think watching all the way from the US on Saturday versus Harrogate, I think you were in Germany, weren't you, Charles?
I was freezing. Yeah. I was next to a tree.
Yeah, there's lots of trees in Germany.
There was, yeah.
I actually thought the referee favoured us a little bit against Harrogate.
Well, that's why I thought he was good.
Well, I was going to say that's probably why you thought, what a referee, brilliant. But I thought he made a couple of strange decisions. I mean, they went in our favour, so, you know, great. But I thought there was a couple of times where I was like, I'm not sure that's a free kick, or actually that's not a good decision and stuff. But it was in our favour, so it worked well. I mean, there was a lot of times, Danny, I think me and you commented on this in the WhatsApp, where the Harrogate fans in the background could be heard shouting.
Yes.
Brilliant it was.
Amazing. In the proper Yorkshire accents as well, wasn't it? It sounded even better.
Oh, it was incredible.
It was just how close. I think Tim Oglethorpe and Jake Sharp did comment on how they were basically right in amongst the home support. They've gone from essentially one commentary position at Exeter, one extreme where they're basically stuck up in this like gantry.
They couldn't get down, could they?
No ladder to get. They took the ladder away.
It just hangs off the side of the stand.
Yeah, it looks so scary. I'm not sure I'd have liked it.
And it was well windy as well.
Took the ladder away so that they're stuck there and they're left there. Poor old Pete Walton couldn't get his halftime cup of tea or whatever, could he?
Walton.
They go from that. Yeah, they go from that to then on Saturday at Harrogate, basically being in the home stand, just surrounded by home fans. And it made for some great background noise. There were a couple of... Can you remember any of the shouts that came from the home ground at all, Danny or Neil?
It sounded like they were just surrounded by 1,000 Neil Warnocks.
Very good.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, it's never a foul.
Yeah. Oh, it was good.
Talking We'd be better off out the bloody thing.
You mentioned Pete Walton.
Yes.
Did you see Rio Ferdinand giving him a bit of stick?
No. When was this?
I can't remember. It was at the weekend. I can't remember which game it was.
Oh, I've seen this as well, Neil.
Yeah, but essentially there was a controversial decision in one of the Prem games that was on telly, and it went to Pete Walton afterwards, and Pete Walton being Pete Walton obviously sided with the ref and said, yeah, no, it's the right decision and stuff. And Rio Ferdinand did some weird arm movement if he was going to karate chop him.
Ooh.
And was like saying, unusual for you, Pete, to side with the referee. It was brilliant.
Excellent. Yeah. I thought you were going to say that he gave him some stick for basically sacking off the Champions League and skiving from his role at BT Sport to do the Exeter commentary instead on Tuesday night. Yeah, that was quite funny. A big thing was made of that. I enjoyed it.
Respect.
Yeah, respect. I like it. Let's talk about the Harrogate game.
Just before we do that,
Go on.
Can I just point out that Jeffy's best ever season moment nearly happened on Tuesday?
Of course. How could I possibly have moved on?
I know.
I'm so sorry. Over to you, Jeffy.
Basically, I mean, I honestly thought he'd scored. I thought he'd scored because we were so far away from it, obviously, being at the other end. I was like, oh no, he scored. And I was literally jumping up and down. Then, you know, when you sit down with all that disappointment, and the disappointment only lasted for like 5 seconds because then Sowerby smashed in the next one. And I was like, oh, okay. But like, I was like, oh, what could have been? But it wasn't to be. But the king is still the king, obviously.
Well, of course.
Me and Gareth Wilshere, big up Gareth Wilshere, just looked at each other like, how has he not scored that goal? But there we go. I was sat. This is how close we were to Exeter and the Cobblers media people. I was actually sat right next to them. And when it got windy, all of the Exeter City team sheets got blown into my face. So I had to return them to them. So, yeah.
Should have ripped them up.
That would have been a bit harsh. Eaten they were losing them at the time. But, oh, again, also, great news, great moment. So, obviously, you know when Exeter at the very end thought they'd scored and it went in the side net in?
Oh, yeah.
That was a brilliant moment. Because, there was a couple of things that had brewed over the match. If you weren't there, you wouldn't maybe comprehend them. So, the first thing is that needs to be brought up. Sorry, Charles, I'm going on a bit of a tangent now. The drum, okay? The Exeter City fans have got a drum. This drum.
A lot of clubs have a drum, yeah.
No. No. This drum, literally, it was unbearable. Literally unbearable. And I was like, I can't cope with this. So we shut them up with the second goal, which was absolutely marvellous, because the drumming was just irritating everybody in the ground. Even their home fans were annoyed with it. I looked on Twitter afterwards and saw that they weren't happy with it. But then when they nearly scored that second goal and it went in the side net and they all jumped up thinking they'd scored, so did all their media people, then they had to do that sit down of shame. Magnificent. Love and that it. Was it. Whistle went.
Brilliant.
Bang on. John Brady starts parading on the pitch. Great fun.
Oh, I tell you, that was the other thing, wasn't it? I mean, because John Brady has been very, well, he's very passionate, isn't he? And it's great to see at the end of the Exeter game, oh, Matty Taylor didn't seem to like it, did he?
Tough.
It was a little bit of a kerfuffle.
Tough.
What was that about? I didn't see that.
Well, I don't really know. This is the thing. All I saw was that, you know how usually the full-time whistle goes and the camera will instantly pan, doesn't it? This does this on every single football game. Mm-hmm. It always pans to the dugouts where you then basically see the two managers shaking hands. Mm-hmm. All I actually saw was John Brady walking onto the pitch and then he suddenly turned round to remonstrate a bit with Matty Taylor. And it looked to me like he was sort of going, it was one of these moments. Oh, what did you say? No, what did you say? Go on, what did you say? Kind of thing. It was that in my mind. That was the, you know, what was actually going on. If you've ever done that thing where you might be watching people and then you make up the conversation in your head that they're having. That was the kind of thing. Yeah. Obviously, I think maybe Matty Taylor maybe felt that John was just being a little bit over the top. But I think that is just him, and it's great to see. I absolutely love it.
I was about to say, there's nothing better than John Brady after a win, but there is obviously one thing that's better than John Brady after a win, and that's Adam Morton's goal gift.
Yes.
Win gift, sorry. But John Brady after a win, especially away from home, it's a great sight to see. It's just like, he's so passionate, and we're just so used to managers who just go and give a little walk up, little clap. And just like we've spoken to him before pre-season and stuff and met, and you can tell he's that type of manager that feels everything and wants it so badly that, like, if we do end up going up, that moment of promotion or whatever it's going to be is going to be so special because he's just going to love it. I'm expecting a knee slide.
That would be brilliant. Right, Harrogate.
Yes.
And the game itself there. I mean, we've mentioned about, obviously, we don't need strikers. We've got Guthers and the horse to score our goals for us. But first of all, how good was Mitch Pinnock in both of these games? And in fact, the whole season so far, his crossing and his free kicks are just, they're pinpoint accurate. And I thought it was nice that it was Martin Smith who was doing the co-coms on Saturday. Because I just thought, there are two men with two incredibly good left feet. Neil, I need you to kind of jump in here and save me from it sounding like a ASMR type audio thing.
That's why I'm going to keep quiet. I wasn't actually, first few games of the season, I wasn't that sold on Mitch Pinnock, but he's definitely won me over. He's been brilliant, hasn't he?
I wonder whether he's got better as his hair has grown.
Potentially, yes. Yeah, potentially. Do you think it's grown, or do you think he's had the Wayne
Rooney? He's had that Wayne Rooney thing done. He had it just as he joined, I'm led to believe.
There we go.
So I think it's a bit like, you remember how Jonjo O'Toole seemed to lose all his powers when he cut his hair short?
He did.
We didn't think you meant Shelby.
Oh, brilliant. It's the reverse of the Jonjo. He's gaining more power as his hair grows.
The power in that left foot is magic, isn't it?
Yeah, he looks confident as well. There was a point in the Harrogate game where I think it was the outside of his boot sprayed across the pitch. Yeah. Yeah, brilliant. And that's a sign of real confidence, right?
Yeah, and we talk about our set pieces all the time. We wouldn't be scoring from these set pieces if it wasn't for Mitch Pinnock. I don't know how many assists he's got so far, but it's an absolute weapon, isn't it? He's got that swagger about him because we're winning. That's probably plays a part as well. He's got the confidence from winning, and he's got confidence that he's done it a few times. But it's just superb. Like just to have that play with that extra bit of quality in him, it makes such a difference, especially when you're fighting at the top of the table. Just to have someone who can just turn something on in the kind of, what's the phrase? I was about to say switching of a thumb, but I think that's two phrases mixed together.
Excuse me?
Clicking of the fingers. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, right. Okay.
Clicking of the fingers. Pull something out of the bag and deliver it like the postman that he is.
Oh, post it.
Hey, post it right in there.
I am just so, I'm so happy because, in a way, this last week has answered a lot of the criticisms that I think we've, maybe not the criticism, but the potential criticisms that we've talked about. So that strength in depth that we've had as a conversation over the last couple of weeks, where we've been worried about, you know, when a man goes down, so for example, when Sean McWilliams isn't in the side or Keon Atete, what we're getting coming into the side to replace them isn't really, I mean, it's not that they're not quite as good. Essentially, they're not anywhere near as good as the first 11. And yet, I want to make a little bit of a special mention for Nicky Kamamba, first of all, who I thought had a really good game. I mean, I know he missed a sitter, didn't he? Let's be honest. That one-on-one, he should have tucked away against Harrogate. But he played a really important role, and he ran his legs off for the team against Harrogate on Saturday. It was him chasing down that won us, I think, the corner for the first goal. And I think also, I mean, the second goal came again from him basically not giving up and just keeping going at that back line and the goalkeeper. But with that, John Brady had a bit of a tactical masterstroke against Exeter. God knows what that formation was that he put us out there playing. And then, considering that 4-4-2 has not worked for us previously this season at all, there is something there that he's managed to do. And it's got to come down to the spirit that these players, these lads have, that they still want to play for John Brady and for the football club and for the rest of their team and the fans and everything. Because I don't think you would normally get that. I mean, Nicky Kabamba's been basically on the sidelines, hasn't he? He's not really played at all. What, he started the first game of the season against Port Vale, had a decent game, I thought, really. And, you know, obviously it was him that got their goalkeeper sent off early on by chasing down. He's come into the side and done really, really well, I thought, on Saturday.
I agree.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant on Saturday. He's got a style about him that you sometimes can be like labelled kind of wrongly, that he's like languishing about and stuff, but he puts in the effort, and that's all you can ask for, really. And that's basically how Verdane Oliver won us over in the second half of that promotion season. Not really comparing the two just yet, but by putting the work in and by like running into the ground, you win fans over like that. And if it brings other people into play and lets the likes of Paul Lewis and Sam and Pinnock do their thing, then it doesn't necessarily need to be scoring goals all the time, which I don't think he will anyway. But it just kind of gives us that little bit of extra and that little bit of touch up the top of the pitch that we wouldn't be getting otherwise. I think he's definitely brought himself back into the fray, because I think a couple of weeks ago, I think Colin Caldwell would throw some water bottles because of something he did or didn't do on the side of the pitch. So yeah, all for the Kabams party. Get that going. And we're going to need him, I think, at some point.
I agree. I think we're really going to need him. I think he has the hallmarks of being a Verdane Oliver type player, doesn't he? But I do think that we desperately need strength in January alongside that. I think Atete, for all his faults, because we have criticised hugely on here, rightly so, Atete, he's really come on leaps and bounds. But I think the thing with Atete, he doesn't necessarily score a lot, but the creation and the way that we're able to build our formation around him helps. He wins a lot of free kicks. We're in the right place on the pitch as such to play. So I think we desperately need people that can do that, because for all intents and purposes, Danny Rose is not good enough to do that. And we've proven that over several games this season. It just doesn't work as effectively. So I do think we need strength as well as him stepping up. But I mean, if we're second in saying this, then we're doing the right things, right?
Absolutely. I want to talk about the Jordan Flores incident, because it's a little bit confusing for me, but there's positives and negatives to it, I think. And we just start with the negative. Obviously, he came on as a sub against Exeter. I think it was Sean McWilliams he replaced at halftime. And then he got subbed off towards the end of the game. Yeah, I was not very happy with his performance at all.
It was atrocious.
And I don't blame him being subbed off. I thought that was it. That's the last time that we'll see him in a cobbler's shirt. And yet, he was named as a sub again against Harrogate. and he was brought in, brought off the bench late on, and he put himself about a lot more against Harrogate. I know he was only on for a few minutes, but he won an important header, I think, at one point that stopped and broke up a Harrogate attack towards the end of the game. It all comes back for me to this team spirit, to this unity that there has, well, that has basically appeared, that has been created by John Brady, by the football club as a whole, I think. You know, a lot has been talked about in regards to, you know, it being a local coaching team. And then you've got, throw the players into the mix like your Liam Roberts, who really celebrate with the fans at the end of the game. All of that coming together just shows you that this group of lads really want to play football for this football club, or at least for that team, and they're really getting together with the fans at the moment. So I don't know about you, Danny. Did you feel the same about Jordan Flowers? Did you think that maybe that was his Cobbers career over on Tuesday night?
Part of me when I was watching him was hoping for because he had an absolute stinker, to be fair, didn't he? And it, like, it just wasn't going for him. But I get what you're saying, Charles. I think he's clearly done something in training that's meant that he's coming on before the likes of Pollock, who we'll probably never see again coming off the bench, yeah. Which is a shame. But it's such a weird situation with him, because he's coming with quite a lot of fanfare, I think, in my head anyway. He had that contender for the goal of the year competition or something, didn't he? And I thought, this is the one that's going to be our creative midfielder. But it's just not happening for him at the moment. I think whatever it is, it's just not working. But if he can start buying into what Brady is doing, I think then he'll be a useful player, because it does seem to be what Brady is trying to create, is everyone has to buy into this or you're out, kind of thing. And that's the way the best promoted teams do that, because everyone's going towards the same thing, everyone's geared towards the same work ethic and all this kind of thing. And if one player's not doing that, it ruins the whole system. So he has to buy into it, otherwise his Cobblers career will be quite short. Hopefully he does. I haven't seen anything in him yet to suggest that he will do, but fingers crossed he can do.
Neil, Danny mentioned Scott Pollock there. Have you got a take on, well, where he is and what's going on?
Where he is, I mean, going by his Instagram, he's having a great time.
Down in London all the time, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. I've got no idea. I mean, I can only assume there's an element of, I don't know. I mean, I'd be guessing. I have no idea. The only thing I can think of, because he's definitely got ability, Pollock, hasn't he? And he gives us something different, I think, in terms of a bit of creativity. Maybe there's an issue with his work ethic or his commitment. I've got no idea whether that's true or not. I'm just trying to think of what the reason is. Or maybe it's just quite simply that he's I mean, I find it difficult to believe, though, that Flores could beat him out in training. I don't know. I guess it's probably a trust thing, maybe. Maybe Brady doesn't trust him to do what he's asking of the other players, I guess. Why are you asking me? I don't know, Charles.
Well, look, I mean, first of all, just to come back, obviously we don't know what's going on in training.
No, not clearly. Yeah.
And it does always, I mean, I'm please don't take this the wrong way, Neil, but I think it's almost a bit, we always tend to go, the same thing happened with Chuck Remaker. We did it. It was done in the press. It was done on Twitter by other fans. You know, there was talk of him basically not giving enough or putting in enough effort or having, you know, the wrong kind of attitude to make it in the first team, kind of thing. And I think maybe that's a bit lazy. That's a little bit unfair, because we don't have a clue about that at all whatsoever. Nobody's turned around and told us. I wonder potentially whether it's a case of, it's not about his ability necessarily, but it's about, he simply is a player that doesn't fit into the style of play that, you know, essentially John Brady either wants to play at the moment or needs to have in the team. Maybe there's an element of him being a little bit too Flairy, maybe? As in, you know, I'm not saying that he doesn't work hard. I just mean that he's more of a player that could create something rather than be the type of player that's going to press constantly, if that makes sense. That's the only thing that I can think of, really, is that he basically doesn't fit into the style of play that John Brady either wants to play at the moment or can play at the moment.
Feels a bit of a lazy take to me.
I'm glad you said that. Absolutely love it.
You're on the fence there, Neil.
I was getting him back. It could be anything, right? Like, yeah. That's the problem. Like, has Brady said anything about it at all?
No. I mean, been asked. This is it. I mean, I don't know whether he's been asked, and I don't know. Well, I've certainly not seen in the Cron or heard on Radio Northampton him ever speak about Scott Pollock in any way, shape, or form, really, other than after, say, the game. Was it Forest Green? Did we play in the Pizza Trophy where he played and scored? I've not heard very much. Maybe we will find out more, but. I guess, more of him on Instagram than on the football pitch at the moment, which is intriguing.
I mean, I guess we're second and you know we've won four in a row. So
yeah, so stop complaining, Neil, for goodness sake.
I mean, hold on, I didn't.
Right, we'll be back after a very short break. We've got a post bag and some NTFC women to talk about. Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. Thank you very much for paying us the attention that you are doing so. It's postbag time. It's time to read your letters out, but things have changed, so listen out. If you want to write about Northampton Town, you'll need to write this next bit down. Just have a rant or just some fun at podcast@cobblerstome.com. No matter if we lose or win, send us your thoughts. Come on, get them in. Before I let Neil actually open the post bag and delve himself in, a correction has come in from Mr. Phil Moore. This is in regards to the chat that we were having last week on the pod about Northampton's bid to become a city.
Oh no, and, what have we done wrong?
Well, do you remember, I mean, this is you and I, Chezzy. I seem to, we were talking about the need for having a cathedral.
Yeah, which I thought was what you needed for a city, but am I wrong?
Well, no, you're not necessarily wrong. Good. But Fillmore wants to point out that we do indeed have a cathedral.
Well, I don't live in Northampton, so that's a great cop-out for me.
In that case, I will take exactly the same defence, my lord. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but you were born there. I was born in farmerland. I've got an excuse.
So it's the Cathedral of Our Lady Immaculate and St. Thomas of Canterbury.
Oh, my God. Right, hang on. Wait.
I'm waiting.
I think that's where my parents got married.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. It's been a place of worship for over 150 years.
I think that's where they got married. I think I've actually been there for a christening recently as well.
It's on Primrose Hill in Northampton. Yeah, so there
absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you for correcting us, Phil. We stand corrected. I am happy to, love it. Thanks very much. Oh, there we go.
Our Lady Immaculate reminds me of Derry Girls as well.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Right, Neil. Postbag time. Have you got anything for us?
Yeah, got a few in the bag. Jones, you pick your name. Who do you want? Malcolm Butler, Stew 22, Brick Cobbler, or Tom Wayne?
Oh, let's go.
I'll go with Stew 22 then, shall I?
Go for it.
Guys, have I missed the announcement of your open top bus parade to celebrate your success? I'm sure Oxford would be having one.
Well, Stu, you haven't missed the announcement. What we're aiming to do at this moment in time is to just join the players on their open top bus in May after we lift the League Two trophy. Is that okay for you? Good. Moving on.
Who's next?
Tom Wayne.
A common theme, actually, this from Tom. We've not been amazing, but this is an average as I've seen League Two.
Understatement.
Amazing. A couple of decent signings in January and we'll stay up there. I've got a couple of points to pick with that.
Go on.
I think every single year fans say, this is the worst I've ever seen this league.
No, this is really bad though, Neil. This is worse than I have ever seen it.
You say it every time.
No, but I've
don't forget, Forest Green are atrocious, Neil.
They are. Yeah, yeah. But I've not seen this league as not only just in terms of game poor, in terms of poor in terms of the actual results. We're not getting anyone running away with results at all.
Does that not mean it's a really competitive league then?
It's terrible, Neil.
I think we're playing this down too much.
Yeah,
I feel like if we go up, it's not going to be as big an achievement if we just sat here saying how rubbish it is every week.
You're basically saying we're basically doing what everybody does about Keith Curl's playoff achievement, which is turn around and say, oh, we default. We only got in because of COVID.
Well, we did come straight back down again, so...
Yeah, well, you know, let's just...
But I mean, it's so bad. I mean, if you think, all right, the league leaders are running away with the league, apparently, supposedly, and they're shipping five goals. Like, firstly, they're not running away with it. Secondly, they are awful.
Thirdly, they're trotting away with it.
They're so bad. They're so bad. They're absolutely, really rubbish.
Just and by the way, I'm really happy to eat humble pie in May. But
if a team runs away with the league, that doesn't automatically mean that it's a good league, though, does it?
No, but if you think back to, I know we always refer back to it, but like that 2016 league, there were so many fantastic teams in there.
Really?
And we ran with it.
Really?
But there were so many really good teams. Yeah.
That's rose tinted. That's looking. Nah, that. The League Two is always crap.
Not as crap as this, though.
I hate to use Joey Barton as an example, but did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he said in the week in his one of his post-conference?
Keith Curl-esque, wasn't it?
It was, and he basically said, there are no good teams in League Two. All the good teams are in the Champions League, etc. Anyway, Port Vale are quite good.
I enjoyed that because on Quest, they were talking about it. And then Bristol Rovers went and had a 4-2 game where it was a bit of a ding-dong. So it cut to all these moments. And the analyzer on the commentator on the Quest program was going, so-and-so scored a goal. That was quite good.
Brilliant. I love that. Speaking of... us being good, Brit Cobbler's message. He forwarded us this stat, if you like. He said,
Ricky,
we keep breaking records. The Cobblers have become the first club to record 250 away victories in the fourth tier of English football after the win at Exeter. So technically, we've also become the first club to record 251 away victories in the fourth tier of English football after the win at Harrogate on Saturday as well. I don't want to dwell on this too much because obviously there are two ways of looking at that. And one of them is that essentially we've been in the fourth tier for far too
far
long.
Far too long, yeah.
But yeah, there we go. Neil, Malcolm Butlers. I like this one and I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Butlers. Dear Neil, very official Malcolm, thank you. Just home after one of the best weekends away I can remember. 500 miles on the clock. 3 points in the bag, second in the league, fantastic company, far too much good food and drink, and a much-needed lie-in on order for tomorrow. My question to you, when was your last perfect away day, guys?
One word.
Mm-hmm.
Orient. End.
Oh, that's two words.
In the end to my statement.
It was two words.
Is that the 2015-16
season? You're a teacher.
Huh?
Is that the 2015-16 season?
Oh, there will never be a day like that. That even was on par with Anfield. That day was so... There's just not enough time or superlatives or enough energy to explain that day. like the emotions of that day. That's when I think everybody knew what was going to happen. That was insane.
First of all, I think it's pretty obvious that you're all going to take the mickey out of me, but Salford away.
Oh, I thought you were going to say when Richard Hope's
going. No. I was going to go for the Uber.
Yeah, Salford away, Uber. Ubered it, didn't I?
Ubergate.
Neil, I've got a question for you. I've got a couple. I want to put them to you to see whether you're going to put them or whether they would be in your top five, let's say.
All gone.
I've not necessarily got five for you, but Dagenham away.
That's my top.
Yeah, I was going to go for that one as well.
Yeah, that's my top.
Okay. Dagenham away. That is one game.
Ivan Toney one we're talking about.
Yeah.
Toney. Oh, so we regularly beat Dagenham away.
Yeah. but that is one game, along with Stevenage in 2015-16. Those are two of the games that I really wish I'd been at. When I look, you know, I genuinely think to myself, if I could go back in time and change the circumstances that I had that stopped me going, I would do everything for those two games to go and see them in person.
Dagenham pips it for me, I think, because...
Was that because you met Jefferson Lake?
Well, if anything, that made it a questionable decision to make it as a top. the location, right? It's in London, for starters. So easy to get to, loads of Cobblers fans on the train. Great time beforehand. We were getting to that point where hope had almost gone, hadn't it? Mm. The rest is history, as they say.
It was, when you're talking about entire days out, London is usually a safe bet. Because you always get a gathering. There's always a post up somewhere, and they say, meet in this pub at so-and-so time. I just remember going, I can't remember what station it was, but there's a pub outside one of the tube stations. I think,
on the corner.
On the corner, yeah. And everyone, just like, the amount of shoes in the air at
it was ridiculous.
11, 12 in the morning. Like, everyone was just in such a... I mean, considering that this was like a do-or-die game, basically, like, it was amazing to see. Like, it wasn't everybody just sat there nervously. We were just like, this is our last chance to really get out of it. And, like, we were just going for it the whole time, and it just... Like when Toney scored after about 5 or 6 minutes, like Morris scored quite soon afterwards, 3-0 by halftime, and we're just going crazy. It was just insane. Like, and just to go in on train, I think, as well as an extra thing, to have that whole day out, it was a special occasion, I think. We absolutely packed that place out as well. And
that was the day. So on that day, my friend, Mitch, his name is. He's in
Pinnock.
Not Pinnock, no, unfortunately. No. I tried to be friends with him. He's ignored my requests. he was in the Navy at the time. This is Mitch, not Mitch Pinnock. And he'd travelled up from Pompey, I think it was. For the Dagenham game. And he'd met us in the pub. And it's where I introduced him to his now, they're not married, but his now long-term partner. And stuff. So nice, aww, nice little story for that day. But also, he got kicked out just before half time for celebrating on the pitch. So he travelled all that way. Lasted about 35 minutes.
Yeah, oh, brilliant.
It was the emotion, wasn't it, as well? Just that
he was
worn out. Like, the emotion of that day was something else.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
Love it. Send your emails to podcast@cobblerstome.com. Absolutely love all of those. And it's really nice as well, because we had a lovely message after last week's postbag from Jono, who was really pleased and thanked us for reading out his question. I would just like to say you're more than welcome. And if you send your question or your opinion into podcast@cobblerstome.com, you might feel like Jono too. Marvellous. Right. NTFC Women were in Vitality Women's FA Cup action on Sunday as they visited Lincoln City Women, who play their league games in the level above the Cobblers. James Wiles was at Moorlands and he sent us this match report.
The Cobblers' historic Women's FA Cup run was ended when they lost 4-2 after extra time away to Lincoln City in the third round on Sunday. They turned the game around either side of half-time, but the Imps scored a late equaliser and two goals in extra time that decided the tie in their favour. Lincoln are second in the league above the Cobblers, so there are positives to take from the game. The girls can certainly compete with teams at higher levels, which they've shown numerous times throughout this cup run. They made the worst possible start, though, falling behind early on. But they were level before half-time, thanks to Abby Bruin's fifth goal of the season in all competitions, a wonderful curler into the far corner after she went on a run down the right wing. The Cobblers were on top in the second half, and they actually went ahead when substitute Alex Dix smashed home her 12th in all competitions, arrowed into the top corner after a great run from the halfway line. However, Lincoln broke Cobblers' hearts in the last minute of normal time with a goal that gave them momentum going into extra time. They ultimately took full advantage, taking the lead and doubling it to win the tie. Lou Barry and Josh Oldfield's Cobblers played their first league match in over 2 months and their first home game since mid-November when they play Notts County next week. And a win against their mid-table opponent, Notts County, will continue the Cobblers' perfect start to the season in the league as they look to regain top spot after other teams went ahead of them due to games being played in the FA Cup. I spoke to joint managers Lou Barry and Josh Oldfield after the game. So Josh, defeat today in extra time, what thoughts and performance?
The girl gave absolutely everything. The girls gave absolutely everything. They couldn't have given us more. They pushed the game. They took the game to a team that's top of the division above, and we were 30 seconds away from taking a step into the next round. The performance in the end, the extra time, got away from us a little bit. We're tired. I think we're very visibly tired. But that doesn't take anything away from the 90. Doesn't take anything away from the character, from the determination, from everything that they gave to us. Because for 90 minutes, for 120 minutes, they were outstanding.
And Lou, you responded to going the goal behind. You, as Josh says, you were 30 seconds away from winning it. Are you disappointed that you couldn't hold on?
Of course, we will be. Look, we started poorly. We've seen the first 2 minutes, an awful goal as well. And naturally, we were a bit slow, a bit nervous. We grew into it, and we've played exceptionally well. Look, we are 30 seconds away from being in next round, but that's football, unfortunately, and that moment went against us today. But as Josh said, it's nothing but pride in what we've done to get this far, to beat the teams we have, to even today, to take that team as far as we have, is amazing. And 30 seconds, yes, that we can pick away at that goal at the end, but that's football, and we'll get over that and we'll be fine. And even though we've lost today, a big part of us feels like we've won altogether.
And Josh, you've been knocked out, but it's still a historic cup run.
Yeah. I said to the girls at the end, the outcomes of this cup run will echo. I don't think it's a case of being knocked out and that's the end of it. The outcomes, as I said, are big. We've had a reach that we perhaps didn't have previously. We've had exposure that we didn't have previously, and we've shown not only that we can compete against teams in and around us, but in the leagues above. And for us, that's huge. What it has shown us is maybe some areas we need to think about, some areas that we need to improve on. So positives all round, really positives all round.
And finally, Lou, feels like a long time since you've had a home game. Feels like a long time since you had a league game. What are your thoughts going into Notts County next week?
Can't wait, mate, honestly. It's been 2 months next week since our last home game. Last league game, which is mental in itself. I feel like I've had a bit of an holiday and I've gone on the FA Cup for a couple of weeks and months, so we can't wait. The girls know, and we've said every single game, win or lose, during this cup competition, the league's our biggest priority. We've never forgotten about that. So same as when we win, we have 24 hours. We have 24 hours now to be a bit sad, be a bit down. And then Monday morning, we're straight back at Notts County, which we know is a huge game, massive 3 points, and we get to focus on what we want to, is doing what we want in the league.
Yes, down but not out. Or out but not down, maybe, is the right way to go about it. Dream is over, but
wasn't it a wild ride, though?
Oh, it wasn't. It just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And I would like to just, first of all, just say how proud we all are of all of the whole team, all of the girls, especially Abby, our sponsored player, but all of the girls, all of the, the coaches, Josh and Lou, obviously. It's been a great ride, as you said, Jesse.
I'm just gutted for them. It's just so close to that round four when the WSL teams and the championship teams come in. But like, as gutted as it is, especially to lose it with 30 seconds left, you've got to take that pride, I think, from the end of it. Like how far they've come and how much they've dug in and put in a performance like that against a team that are, it's not just the fact they're in a league above, they're second in the league above. They've won 8 out of 9 games. They're flying in that league as well. They're only behind Doncaster Bells, I think, in the league table. And it's their togetherness, the fact they just didn't give in. They went a goal down early on and you think, oh, it's going to be tough from here. But the fact they turned that around against a team like that is incredible. And just, I think I just really enjoyed the buzz of the afternoon, because from 2 until what eventually was about 5 o'clock time, Twitter was a buzz. Like, our Slack channel was just full, like, going in, because Nick, on our Slack group, one of our patrons, was there. He travelled up to Lincoln and he was giving us updates, and we were just on tenter. We were just waiting on tenterhooks for the next update, And to see a Slack channel like that, and to see Twitter like that, not talking about the Super Sunday games, not talking about the Premier League games that were going on, but talking about the Cobblers women, is for 2 or 3 hours on a Sunday afternoon, is amazing. And we've got to somehow capitalize on it. Like, somehow the club, I think, needs to feel that. And I'm sure they do, in terms of what happens next season, in terms of what happens when hopefully we get promoted, that to invest as much as we can into that team, into that squad, to whether that means giving them a proper home base, giving them like a little bit more funding than they've had before, just to keep them ticking over, or market them, or whatever, because we seem to be on a patch where we've got a chance, we've got an opportunity now to really kick on. And like, we're so proud to be involved, to be sponsoring Abbey, but more to be like just supporting them every week. And hopefully, Charles, you might get to a game next week potentially. And there's that draw there now. You want to go to their games. Like, whenever you get a chance to, you think, can I make it a double up on a Saturday? And that's a great thing. And like, we've got to just keep on with it and grab this momentum and take it, I think. And I think the club, it would be great for the club to kind of look at this and think, where can we invest in it? Like, how can we use what we've got to help them a little bit more? And I think the coverage as well, because we were there, and it was great to have Nick's updates on Slack, and the Twitter updates are great when they come through on the Twitter. But for an FA Cup third round, for a historical moment like that for our women's team, it would have been great to have some sort of commentary, wouldn't it? Or some sort of, no, I'm not saying we like send the cameras up and stuff, but that we've been able to have commentary before, and whatever kind of standard it is, I think it would have been amazing to have that this afternoon. And you know, going forward, that'd be a good thing, I think.
Absolutely.
Maybe we could do it.
Let's not go that far.
<It's> weird.
We'll be up there with our little handheld microphone that you took to Silby.
That went really well, didn't it?
It did go really, really well. Yeah, we weren't doing commentary that day, and I don't think it's probably a good job. Yeah, mainly because who was the French midfielder? Can you remember, Neil?
Eric Sabin.
French midfielder.
Was he? I'm sure he was a French midfielder we had on trial.
Was this a trialist?
Yeah,
Eric Sabin. No, it wasn't Eric Sabin.
No,
beautiful.
I think I know who you mean, but I can't.
Love Eric.
I can't think of his name. But anyway, yeah, that's the kind of level of content that you'd get if we were commentating.
One of my rubber ducks is called Eric Sabin. That's how good Eric Sabin was.
But yeah, I echo what you say, Danny. And to be honest with you, there's been a few.
Curtis Yeavely.
That's the one. Thank you. Yeah,
he looked good as well, didn't he?
He did.
Nathan Tyson played in that game as well.
Oh, crikey.
He didn't look so good.
But yeah, just what you said, Danny, about, you know, how do we sort of capitalise on this? How do the women's team capitalise on all of this? I mean, obviously, first things first, get back to the league and go on and win that, get the promotion that they thoroughly will deserve. And then go from there. I have seen a few people sort of questioning, haven't I, about them playing at Harpole playing fields, Harpole FC. Why aren't they playing more games at Six Fields? I know that the team would love to play more games at Six Fields. There's a lot more factors to take into it, of course. You know, money comes into play and all of this sort of stuff. I'm not defending anyone here. I'm just pointing out cold hard facts, that it costs money to put games on at Six Fields, and also more games on the pitch will obviously take its toll on that as well. But I do agree, and I think it would be brilliant to go and be able to go and watch the women play every single week in a decent stadium. I can't believe I'm saying that about Six Fields, but there you go. When you compare it to some playing fields,
it will be soon.
But somebody brought up the idea of Silby, though, didn't they? Itself, which wouldn't be a bad shout in itself.
Anything like that. I mean, I think, Neil, you're the perfect person to tell us about what Harpole playing fields are like, because obviously your lad plays on them most weeks.
But it does.
Is it just what I'm imagining, which is some playing fields with some goals put up?
Yeah.
Jumpers.
Yeah. Jumpers pretty much. I assume the women play on. So when you go into Harpole playing fields, there's some pitches in front of you, and then the middle bit where the cricket pitch or the cricket square usually is, and then to the right of that, I think, is the main pitch. So I assume.
Are you telling me, Neil, that they are following cobbler's tradition and playing on a cricket ground?
Yes.
Oh, amazing.
Yes, they are. But I think they play on the far right pitch, which is the which I assume is what Harpole's first team plays on as well, which I think is the slightly better one. My lad and the kids' games are on the left-hand pitches, which is a little bit cut up and stuff. But, I mean, to be fair, you know, they're not in the worst condition considering it is just a playing field. But for a football club, a professional football club's team to be playing on there, it doesn't feel quite right.
I think that's what it comes down to. But anyway, let's not be too negative. Let's use this as a positive. Let's move forward. Let's hope to see the women go ahead and win the league. As you know, as Danny said, I'm hoping to be there on Sunday against Notts County. It will usually it's a 2 o'clock kickoff. Nothing's been confirmed that I've seen as yet, as we're recording. It's usually 2 o'clock kickoff. Keep an eye out on Twitter at NTFC Women. I'll have all the details. We'll obviously retweet it as well at Cobblers to Me. But yeah, just to finish off, just a huge well done for getting as far as you did, because to get to the third round of the FA Cup is no mean feat, especially when they started in the early preliminary rounds. You know, this isn't just they've played three games and then gone out like the Cobblers, you know, well, don't even get to do that normally, do they? The men's team. They have played a lot of games to get there. They are history makers. It is the first time they've ever made it into the first round proper, let alone the third round. So huge congratulations are in order. Every single one of you should be very proud, because I know we are and all of the fans are as well. Fantastic. Does anybody else have anything else that they would like to say before we close the pod?
Yes.
Oh, go on. Here we go.
So just for reference, Cobblers fans, if you want to vote in the absolutely pointless but definitely happening Cobblers poll about who's going on the top of Jeffy's Christmas tree, that is, of course, obviously the king anyway, please look out for the Twitter poll, which will go up. There will be four options, all of which will be the king. So you don't really have a choice in the matter, but, you know.
It's a bit late to be putting a poll and then putting the
No, because the winner goes up on late. Christmas Eve.
Oh, really?
It's Christmas Eve tradition. Come on, keep up, boys.
Charles, I've got some very quick any other business as well.
Okay.
Here, because basically to find that French midfielder, it took me on a bit of a rabbit hole. I found the Chronicle and Echo report from that day.
Oh.
And the always excellent James Henners Hennigan and his report on the 7-0 win. And I was just interested to see what actually happened in terms of his predictions from this game. So he said, Chris Lines looks the part.
Yeah.
Didn't quite work out. what else have we got? Matty Warburton could be a gem. yeah. Jack Newell's one to watch.
Who?
Jack Newell.
Yeah. Was he a youth teamer?
Yes, he was, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Nicky Adams hasn't lost it, which is fair.
That was true, yeah.
Yeah. Don't rush to write off Oliver.
Mm. The Dane.
Yeah. Oh,
there you go.
There you go.
More.
Yeah.
And too early to make a call on trialists. Oh, and the last one, expect a more attractive playing style. So, yeah, can't win them all, can we?
Can we send that to Henners?
Yeah, I think we'll have to, yeah. He'll be listening.
Really love He'll it. Well, look, that's it for this week. Thank you again for listening. Thank you again for all of your support. If you'd like to hear more from us, go to cobblerstome.com, where you'll find Danny's match previews. You'll find the club shop is there now, or the podcast shop, I should call it. It's up there now. Go and get yourself a mug. They are very good and raising money for Western Favel Food Bank. And if you'd like to hear Danny's audio diary from the Football Supporters Association Awards the other week, you can
you
sign
do
up.
Want to hear it.
You definitely want to hear it. It's really good.
Want to hear it.
There is a special celebrity appearance as well, which is amazing to hear. There is definitely an asterisk next to the word celebrity in that sentence. go to patreon.com/cobblers2me and sign up for, well, for £5 a month, you'll be able to hear that episode of Extra Time. And coming up next week on the Fan Club, there's a new episode of Meet the Staff, which is with the head groundsman, Paul Knowles, which is a fantastic chat that I had with him the other day. Remember the whole thing about Keith Curl training on the pitch? Oh, yes. We delve deep into the mud. Tune in. Patreon.com/cobblers2me for that. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week with more award-winning content. Thank you to my fellow award winners, Danny, Neil, and Chezzy. And thank you to you for listening. Goodbye.
Way! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on because we deserve it.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.